I too would like to greet you all tonight in the precious name of Jesus. It's such a privilege to be here. And I appreciate that passage, Jonathan, and the songs that were sung this evening. I'll be honest with you, my heart is pounding.
There's several reasons for that. One is just I want to be faithful to the word. And I come to this last night and, you know, God, have I cleared myself? Have I been faithful to what you called me here to this week? It was my desire, and I trust that you've been fed. It's a blessing to see many here this evening. It's, again, good to see so many of you that have been here every night and learn to know you well, or not well, but better than I did. But it's also good to see faces here tonight that I have not seen before, and Dave and Claire and Jay. I'm sure you had multiple reasons for coming, one of them to worship, but I suspect that you also wanted to support, and I appreciate your friendship. Thank you for that. I don't want to take away from the tenor of worship that our brethren have led us in, but probably the best time for me to say what I need to say next is now. I'd like to express on Karen and my half, Karen and myself, I express to you as a congregation our thanks for a number of things. One, maybe the biggest thing is your prayers. There was a lot of praying. God bless you for that. The prayer groups, you're praying at home. You tell me you're praying. There is power in prayer, and God has answered our prayers. I appreciate, too, your verbal support. It was encouraging, and many of you, including youth and even children, came through and shared your support, and I appreciate that a lot. We are thankful for your kindness, your hospitality. We got into many of your homes, and we enjoyed it a lot. A lot of things that I've heard about the South are very true. You got very good cooking. You fed us well. And we just enjoyed your hospitality. It was great. Thank you for the love gift you share with us. And Karen said I should make sure to tell you ladies that you made her feel very welcome. And it made it easy for her. So thank you for that. To the congregation, I'd like to thank you for adopting us into your congregation for a week. We just landed here and joined you for a week. And you adopted us. And we appreciate that a lot. We're grateful to God for his work in our hearts this week. Grateful for your openness to the word and the truth. It's been an encouragement to me. And my prayer is that the truth that we have taken in and found a place in our hearts will continue to grow, and that Bethany's light will be brighter here in this community. And we give all the glory to God. I enjoyed getting to know the ministry team. Wednesday lunch, we had time together, and I enjoyed that. We had a good time. I encourage you as a congregation to support your ministry team. They need that. They deserve that. And to the ministry team, I believe God will reward you for your faithfulness in serving here. God bless you in that. Karen and I would like to express our thanks to Lori and Robert and the family for hosting us. I know that was a big step of faith, your first time ever, I think. And I hope we didn't ruin it for you. we enjoyed it. You went above and beyond in hosting us and giving everything you had to us that we could use. We enjoyed the time in your family. Thanks to Micah and Asher for giving me a workout, physical workout Saturday. I needed that a lot too. We will leave here with a lot of good memories and new friendships. I'm grateful for that. Turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 9 for the last time of this series. Two theme verses we've been sharing together. Jeremiah chapter 9. Verse 23 and 24. I invite you to stand to your feet. And we're going to read these two verses together. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord,
let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this.
Once again, God said to his people long, long time ago, and he's saying it to us tonight, God said, I don't need your wisdom. I don't need your power. I don't need your riches. But God said, what I truly delight in is when you know me. This week we've been pondering, how much of me does God have? I've taken the liberty tonight to ask Brother Justin to come up and lead a song that I would like to have sung before the message. So stay standing, and Brother Justin, if you can come up. 747 in your...
Oh, once I was found by sin's calling pleasure, chained like a slave, I struggled in vain. But I received a glorious freedom when Jesus broke my fetters in twain. Glorious freedom, wonderful
tonight. It's wonderful not to be shackled by sin, be a slave to the devil, glorious freedom. Title of the message tonight is Ye Shall Know the Truth. I invite you to open your Bibles to the text chapter of John chapter 8 this evening. Ye shall know the truth. John chapter 8, and I'd like to pick up reading in verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest a record of thyself. Thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell me whence I came and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he had spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Now, Jesus was talking to a group of people here, and some of these people that Jesus was talking to were in deep trouble. They had problems. And I'd like to just note several of the problems that some of these people had. One is, they were walking in darkness. And Jesus talked about that in verse 12. He said, I'm the light, but if you don't walk after me, you're in darkness. These people were walking, trying to walk in darkness. They were in darkness. And friends, tonight, darkness is a bad place. Spiritually speaking, we're talking about here tonight. It's a bad place. Someone has said, I think it was Brother Phil Mass said something like this, that darkness has no bottom. And I had never heard it put quite like that. But spiritual darkness has no bottom. It's a spiral that goes down. And the only way out of that is to choose to get off of it. They were groping. They were struggling. They were trying desperately to find their way through, but they were blind. They had the light right there. The light of the world was right in front of them. They were so blind they couldn't see it. Walking in darkness. Another problem we had, they were unbelievers. They did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They did not believe that Jesus had come down from heaven. They didn't believe that. And I'm putting in my words, like, how? It can't be. We know where this man came from. We know the street he lived on. We know who Joseph was. We know who his mama was. We know who his brothers are and his sisters. We saw this man playing in the shop, and you trying to tell us he came down from heaven? They were unbelievers. Another problem, this is obvious, they were sinners. They were terrible sinners. They were terribly lost. They were outside of God. Another problem they had. They were destined to die in their sins. That's a big problem, friends. Jesus didn't beat around the bush. He didn't buddy up to them, throw his arms around his shoulder and say, you know, friend, you're going to be okay. I see you're struggling a bit, but you're going to be okay. We'll all get to heaven someday because God is love. That's not what Jesus did. He told them three times, you are going to die in your sins. Unless you believe, of course. Well, there are those that believe. Thank God. A couple thousand years ago, they believed. They've been believing ever since. You are here tonight because you believe. That's why we're here. Let's continue reading chapter 8, verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so people did believe. Some people believed. Some of these sinners believed. As he spake the word, many believed on him. So there was a revival. There was a coming out. There was a born-again experience. New life. And he told them in verse 31 to the Jews that believed on him, he said, if you continue, you're going to be my disciples. These were probably, I don't think I'm being critical, they were weak Christians. They were just brand new. They didn't know much about it. And he said, Jesus said, look, this is, if you continue, you're on the right path. Continue down this path. You'll be my disciples. Verse 32. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. I don't have a favorite verse because I have many verses I like, but I love verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's where I'm pulling the title out for the message tonight, obviously. Five words. You shall know the truth. Friends, tonight, what does it mean to know the truth? Memorizing Bible verses. The word is true. I might read a verse about that later. Memorizing Bible verses, 100 verses, 1,000 verses that someone would memorize, that would be terrific, commendable. I remember many years ago, as a boy, I remember going to church one, I think it was a Sunday night, and they had some man came in and he got up behind the pulpit. He was not a Mennonite man. And he had memorized many verses. And he got up there and he opened himself. And anybody back in the audience could say a reference. And he would try to quote that verse. It was amazing. He didn't know the whole Bible, of course not. But he knew a lot of the Bible. It was very commendable. It's good to memorize verses. But just because we have memorized 15,000 verses, half the Bible, does that mean that we know the truth? To know the truth, I'm going to give you some things that what it means to know the truth. To know the truth is to know Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so obviously we need to know Jesus because he is the truth. Jesus is the name by Noah. There is no other name by which we can be saved. We need to know Jesus. To know the truth is to believe. It is possible, I suppose, for somebody to memorize all 31,101 verses in the entire Bible, and you could memorize all those verses without believing. Not to believe. To know the truth is to believe. To know the truth is to live it. Jesus said in verse 31, if you continue in my word. That is shoe leather, friends. To know the truth is to, that's where I walk, that's where I talk, that's where I act, in truth. To live it. To know the truth is to be fully persuaded, 100% in. On the right side of the fence, Not one leg hanging over one side and one leg hanging over the other. To know the truth is to be 100% in. It is to be sold out to Jesus Christ. To know the truth is to be committed to the truth. The storms of life come, friends, and temptations come, and they can knock you down. But when we know the truth, we got roots that go down. I shall not be moved, David said. I love that. He said it several times in the song. I shall not be moved. Committed to the truth. Committed to the rock. To know the truth is to consistently take in truth. To consistently take it in to your heart and to your mind. And to keep taking it in. And to keep taking it in consistently. Embrace it. Consume it. And I brought something with me tonight. It's probably going to be a bit unusual. So the first thing I want to say, Mountain Dew is not sin. Okay? I don't have anything against Mountain Dew. And I'm not really going to do anything with this. I thought it might be helpful just to put something in front of you to help you grasp what I'm saying tonight. What I want to say tonight is that we are a result of what we take in. To know truth is to consistently take in truth. You see, because we are what we take in. And we have often heard, I have said it probably many times, that what goes in will come out. Well, I still believe that. I think that's true, that what goes in will come out. But I will also recognize tonight, as I thought about that, that sometimes what goes in takes a long time till it comes out. I've seen that. I've seen people take things into their life that they've kept inside for many, many, many years, and I believe that some people take things in that they never, hardly ever comes out until they get to judgment bar. And sometimes it comes out before. Sure it does. But whether it comes out or whether it does not come out, what you take in is what you are. And I know you're thinking about that tonight, and I have pondered that, and I've thought about my own life, and I will confess to you tonight that there was a time in my life that I argued that. That I was taking things into my life that I knew I shouldn't, but I was convincing myself that that's not who I was. That's a lie, friends. What we take in is what we are. So if you consume alcohol, you're setting yourself up to be an alcoholic. And you'll do what alcoholics do. The alcohol controls, and so they think wrong, and then they do terrible things. That's what an alcoholic does. If you consume 4 2-liters of Mountain Dew on a regular basis, I guess you would be a dewaholic or something. And you would do what the dew does or something. I don't know exactly what that would be. If you take in unnecessary internet time, screen time, we are setting ourselves up for a spiritual disaster. And brothers and sisters, tonight, I believe that we should be very careful with the World Wide Web and with screen time. I'll tell you why I say that tonight, because it is the devil's territory. There are 60 million Americans addicted to pornography on through the internet. It's the devil's territory. We're kidding ourselves if we don't believe that. How much time can we afford to spend in the devil's territory, loitering, browsing, sightseeing? How close can we get to the fire and not get burned? Can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? How much untruth can we afford to expose ourselves to? How much time can we afford to waste taking in from the buffet of non-essentials? What we voluntarily take in through our eyes matters. What we voluntarily take in through our ears matters. Because what we take in is what we are. And anything that we take in outside of the Word of God is a risk. It's always a risk. And you say, how can you say that? Well, friends, tonight it's the truth that sets us free. But it's the other things, the other stuff that has the potential to kill the desire for truth. That's why it's dangerous. There are things that kill the desire for truth. And I know many people who were one time following Jesus, but today they're part of the kingdom of the world. Why? What happened? In every case, it's a result of what they took in. Changes from an intake of truth to an intake of contaminated substance. Well, Friday night, we were with the young people and following the service. I appreciated a question that came. I had mentioned something in that message, a little bit something about internet technology, something. Well, that prompted somebody to ask a question afterwards in our socializing time. And the question came, Delmer, how do you feel, and I'm putting in my words, how do you feel about the world of internet and social media screen time? And that's not exactly how it was asked, but something along that line. Well, young people, you just like opened the door for me to talk, okay? Thank you. I don't mind that at all. So I'm going to share a few things with you that I originally was not going to share. First of all, why do I care? Why do I care? And that's a fair question. I'll tell you why I care. I tell you why I am willing to risk tonight talking about this across your pulpit on a subject that is very touchy. I care because the Lord has ordained for my life path to care for some fallen soldiers of the cross. I'm talking about married men. I'm talking about young men, fallen soldiers of the cross that have been slain. They have fallen, a bloodbath. And I feel sometimes like my hands are bloody. And I care tonight because some of those never get back up. I care tonight because when they do get up, I see the devastation of a wife that sits on the opposite side of that and how it is like a sword drilled into her heart. I see the devastation of children whose daddies have fallen. And I see what it does to those children and the difficulty to get up and walk in confidence on the straight and narrow way. I care tonight because I see the battle for those that have fallen. I see the battle to get back up, and the battle it is to again walk in victory. Friends, it's a struggle or a battle. You're fighting against the powers of darkness. I care tonight because social media influence often has an influence that prompts us to take some of God out of our heart and let something else come in. I care tonight because the time that is being invested into screen time, whatever it is, has come to something close to an addiction, and addictions lead to idolatry, and I care about that. It doesn't matter where you go. I've been a few places in the world: United States of America, Canada, Belize, Liberia, Guatemala, Haiti. It doesn't matter where you go. The thing that is the most highly esteemed among men is a smartphone. It doesn't matter where you go. I care because I fear that we're buying into a world system. The people that are designing these things that we have bought into have absolutely no care for your spiritual life. Zero. One of the questions that came Friday night was, are we dealing with the symptoms or the root? That is a fair question. I appreciate that question. I would say many times we are dealing with the symptoms. We talk about things like filters and accountability, and we deal with symptoms. But friends, tonight, let's not throw out filters and accountability. They still have value. We still need them. But I would like tonight to give you two keys to victory. And this is not, I didn't spend hours thinking about this. This is what the Lord laid on my heart very quickly this afternoon. Two keys that I want to give you to victory. One is in 1 Corinthians 10:14. He says, "Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." God's word says, run from idolatry. Run. Get on your running shoes. As I understand this, running is a scriptural principle that we should embrace. Running from idolatry is scriptural. Joseph ran from pornography. He ran. And Potiphar's wife still lives today on the internet. And friends, we need to run like Joseph did. We better have our running shoes on. And I think of Jesus' words, along with running, he says, cut it off. I believe cutting it off is another spiritual principle that we have been slow to embrace with this whole thing. He says, cut it off. We haven't done real well cutting it off. The second key that I'd like to give you tonight, God's word says, be ye holy as I am holy. Filters are great, good, fair. Accountability is good. Church rules are okay. But you know what? All of those have the potential to break down and not be adequate. There is only one way to victory, friends, and that is a personal commitment to holiness. That's it. That's where the victory lies. A personal commitment to know truth. What you know, what you take in, is what you are. Leaving that and coming back, you shall know the truth. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? We've been looking at that tonight. He said, what is truth? It seems like a noble question. It seems like an innocent question. It seems like a good question that sounds spiritual. What is truth? Seems like a question that we hear. I think Amish people would ask that. Mennonite people would ask that. Baptist people would ask that. German Baptist people would say, what is truth? But as I consider Pilate tonight, I don't think, and maybe I'm being too hard on Pilate, but I don't think he really wanted truth. It sounded really good, but I don't know that he really wanted truth. He didn't own it. He could have owned it. It was right there. He knew what it was. He washed his hands of it. He didn't want to own that. Friends, tonight you can live all around truth. And you can maneuver all around the edges of truth. You can sing about truth. You can read about truth. You can be very close to truth. But all that gives you is just a false good feeling unless you know the truth. I'd like to quickly look at several scriptures of what truth is according to the scripture. John chapter 15. We're in John chapter 15. John 15, verse 5. I am the vine, Jesus said. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. Now, Jesus said, without me, without truth, you can do nothing. In Jesus, we bear fruit. If I tell you to go out here and, Robert, and to plant an apple tree and grow apples out of nothing, you can't do it. You need something else. We cannot bear fruit out of Jesus Christ. Outside of being outside of the vine, we can't bear any fruit. And so truth is being in Jesus, and we bear fruit. We have It enables us, it empowers us, and we produce fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. John 17, verse 17. Jesus said here, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. Friends, tonight, the word of God is for the people of God. It is 100%. Untarnished truth. It is real. A verse that was read this morning, I believe, in the Sunday school devotional, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. If we want to clean up our life, if we want to be pure, we get the truth from the word of God. You fill up on it and you take it in. And that becomes who we are. There are a number of verses I could give you, but I'm going to shortcut some. I would like to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. I'd like to share this verse with you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Paul is telling Timothy here, said in verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. I like this here, the church of the living God. We are not part of a church that is something dead or some idol god or something else, but we're the part of the church of the living God. And you and I are part of that tonight, friends. That is exciting. And the thing that can be so exciting about that, the church of the living God is the pillar and the ground of truth. That means it is the pillar and the foundation of truth, the church of the living God. It's exciting to be a part of that. It will never be destroyed. A church that is the pillar of truth will never be destroyed. It may be persecuted but not destroyed. It may be fun of but not destroyed. It may be scattered but not destroyed. And then 2 John chapter 2. 2 John verse 2, not chapter 2. 2 John verse 2 and verse 4. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth as we have received a commandment from the Father. And so, friends, tonight, truth dwells in us. In us. Take it in. Consistently take it in. It's who we are. It won't force its way inside of us. Just like this 2-liter Mountain Dew is not going to force its way down my throat. The truth will not force its way down my throat, but we got to take it in. It lives in us, dwells in us. And he talks about how rejoicing greatly it's found in God's people walking in truth. Friends, tonight, truth is something that you can have in you. You can live in it. You can walk in it. You can talk in it. You can act in it. Truth is something to rejoice about. Even if everything in the world goes bad, we can rejoice because we got truth inside of us. On the opposite side of things, we won't turn to these verses, but on the opposite side, 1 Timothy 6:5, it says, the wicked are destitute of truth. The wicked do many, many wicked things, and they have no truth. Destitute of truth. In John chapter 8, the text chapter we had, I didn't read this, but Jesus is describing the devil, and he says, the devil doesn't live in truth because there is no truth in him. You talk about a loser, friends. That is a loser of losers. There is no truth in the devil. Coming back to what truth is, on the practical side, truth is abstaining from all appearance of evil. That is truth. Truth is not loving the world nor the things of the world. Truth is loving your neighbor as yourself. Truth is thinking more highly of others than of myself. Truth is that money is the root of all evil. Truth is that God hates pride and gives grace to the humble. Truth is being content with what you have. Truth is submitting to one another. Truth is that women have their head covered. Truth is honoring your parents and the Lord. And the truth is that once you are saved, you are always saved, or you stay saved by continuing in His Word. That's the truth. Now, what truth does? I'd like to close with what truth does. Here in John 8, you don't have to turn back to it. You know it. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Verse 36 says, if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Friends, tonight, truth sets us free. The New Testament Jews, they were slaves. That's who Jesus was talking to prior. They were slaves. They were shackled. They were in unbelief. They were going to die in their sins. They were slaves to their own sin. And Jesus told them, he said, try me and get yourself set free. Get yourself unshackled. Be free. The truth sets us free, friends, tonight. It sets us free from addictions. And I know addictions can be very strong and very difficult. But tell you tonight, friends, they are less powerful than truth. Truth sets us free from hate and envy that gets into our heart. It sets us free from bitterness. Truth sets us free from loving the world. It sets us free from wrong attitudes. It sets us free from living a lie. It sets us free from deception. It sets us free from the power of Satan. Satan shackles his people, but it's good only until truth gets in the heart, and then the shackles fly. There is a direct connection between knowing truth and being spiritual. You don't become spiritual by saying spiritual things or by doing certain right things. You become spiritual by knowing truth. You are spiritual because of what you are. Tonight, friends, I'm going to leave you with two personal responsibilities. It's very simple. Here it is. Number one, take in truth. As God's people, it is imperative that we take in truth. The second responsibility I would give to you tonight is this: filter out of your life anything that kills the desire for truth. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word tonight. Thank you that it's alive and that it's real and it's relative to our day to day. Thank you for this congregation and the time we've had this week. And we are grateful your Spirit speaking to us and drawing us closer to yourself. Tonight, maybe there is someone here that they have a spiritual need in their life. I just pray, God, that you would speak to their heart, if that's the case. I pray there would be a freedom here tonight that if someone here that needs to make some new commitment or some area in their life that they need to know truth, or maybe something throughout this week and they have not and they want to make a new commitment tonight to something you revealed to them and convicted in their heart, I pray that you would just direct our hearts tonight. And I pray that your will could be accomplished in our life. And I just ask you to keep your eyes closed. We're not going to sing a verse of song. I'm just asking you, while heads are bowed, if God has convicted you of something tonight or this week and you just want to make a commitment in your heart, more of God in your life and less of something else, just show that by raising your hand before we pray tonight. Yes, 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 yes. Anyone else? God has moved on your heart. And you and God are making an agreement tonight that you're going to know truth. Thank you, Lord, for these hands that were raised tonight. You know every need, the desire of their hearts. You know what the issue is or the item is or whatever. You know even now how difficult it may be to follow through in that commitment. I pray that they would have spiritual power and strength. And we just pray for them that they could find the victory and enjoy the freedom that sets us free, glorious freedom. Thank you, God, for that. Thank you for your word this week. And we give you all the honor and all the glory. We just pray that the Bethany congregation here tonight, the weeks to come, the months to come, the years to come, their light would shine bright. And this part of the world would know that there is a God that is alive. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.